Avodah Zarah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalet 5:4, and we pick up where we left off. Again, we have more cases where a Jew is traveling with his wine, and he leaves it where a idolater could have tampered with it. When do we have to be afraid the idolater did tamper with it? The principle is Cheskas Mishdamer. If the idolater throughout the entire period couldn't risk tampering with the wine without the possibility of him thinking of the Jew could look and see him at any time, then the wine is kosher. If there was a window of time long enough for him to tamper and get away with it, so then the wine has to be assumed to have been tampered with and becomes forbidden. That's the principle here. So the first case of our Mishnah here is a Jew who's traveling on a wagon or on a boat, and then he leaves a Gentile alone on the wagon or boat with the Jew's sealed wine containers. So the question is, how long can the Jew be gone for? And the answer is going to be, in principle, as long as the Gentile thinks the Jew can come back at any second, so then everything's a-okay. If the Gentile thinks he has a long window of time where the Jew's not going to be back, you know, and it's safe to tamper with it, and he can get away with it by hiding his crime, so then the wine becomes forbidden. And that's the gist of the Mishnah. The Mishnah inside says, "Hamaniach yeno bekaron o besfina." If one leaves his kosher wine that's got a seal in it, and he leaves it on the wagon or on the boat with a Gentile, "Vahalach lo bekapandaria," and he goes away. But he goes away bekapandaria. It's a strange choice of words. This word kapandaria appears also in the ninth parak of Brachos. It means a shortcut. So like in the context over there, it means you can't turn, the halacha is you can't use a shul as a shortcut. You have to go around, not through the shul. The same, talking about the harbayas over there. But the point is, in the context of our Mishnah here, it means he goes in a way which gives the impression he leaves the Gentile he's leaving behind on the boat or on the wagon to think he'll be right back. He's just going like just short way away. So then, once the Gentile thinks the Jew's going to be back any moment, even if nichnas the Medina v'rachatz, even if the Jew ends up going for a long time, he goes all the way into the city and he goes to the bathhouse and spends an hour there in the spa, it doesn't matter, mutter. When the Jew comes back, the wine on the wagon remains mutter, on the boat, because the Gentile we left behind thinks the Jew will be back in any second, and because he can come back in any second, the Gentile's not going to expose himself by trying to tamper with the wine. The chiddush of this Mishnah here is kind of twofold, if you will. The first is, here, the Gentile has no business touching the wine in the first place. So therefore, it would seem ostensibly, even if the wine barrel wasn't sealed, okay, even if it was just kind of open, the Gentile wouldn't be touching it. In contrast to the previous Mishnah, where this Gentile was a worker for the Jews, then of course he can touch and explain what he's doing there. In any case, that's the lesser chiddush, if you will. The bigger chiddush is, if you ask the question, the principles are the same for this mission as the previous, so why are we adding this mission at all? The case is, you might have thought erroneously that since the Gentile could, you know, hide his crime by essentially relocating the wagon or relocating the boat while he's doing his sneaky libations, and if the Jew would come back, he wouldn't catch him because he'd come back and find the wagon not there. And if the Jew would call the Gentile out, what's going on? Where's the wagon? What'd you do? The Gentile would just say, I had to find a different parking spot. The police are coming around. I don't know, whatever. So the point is he could cover it up. The Mishnah's point is, no, we're not worried about that. We're not worried about it. Obviously, if the Jew did find it, the wagon missing, or if the Jew did find the wine tampered with, that's a different story. But if not, then not. It would be kosher. However, if the Jew informed the idolater left behind on the wagon or on the ship that the Jew is going away for a time, so then if the time that the Jew is actually gone is Kadeshi Yishtom V'Yistom V'Yigov, long enough for the Gentile to drill a hole, reseal it, and the seal to dry, then it becomes forbidden. And Rav Shem Gamliel Omer Kadeshi Yiftach V'Yigov V'Sigov, the exact same measurements. It's to remove the seal entirely, apply a new seal, let the seal dry. So, and the halacha is like Shimon Gamliel also here, but the point is that it's a problem. If the Gentile thinks he can get away with it because you're going away for a long amount of time, if it's long enough for him to actually get away with it, you have to assume that he tried something funny and the wine becomes forbidden. Okay, the third case of the Mishnah, it's similar again to the first two. Here we have Hamaniach Ovid Kochavim Bechanus. You have a Jew who has a chanut, a store, and he has a non-Jewish employee who, you know, whatever, the guy's, he sweeps the floors, he stocks the shelves, whatever the story is. Okay, so now, The Jew owns the store, including the wine in it. Do we have to be afraid that when the Jew's not looking, the non-Jewish worker is sticking his fingers in the wine? So in general, the answer is going to be no, because it's Becheskes Mishtamer. The Jew is mindful of his wine, and he knows that the Gentile knows not to stick his fingers in, so he won't. So Afal Pishu Yotze V'Nichnes Mutar. Even if the Jew is kind of going out the shop, in the shop the whole day long, because that's what people do, since he can come back in any instant, and since the non-Jewish worker has no business, you know, fiddling with the wine, so then safe to assume that he did not stick his fingers into libations, because he wouldn't. However, imho dio shu maflig, if the shop owner says, I'm going away for a time, I'll be back, you know, later in the day. So then if he's gone long enough, kadesha yishton v'yishton v'yigov, says Tanakama, to drill a hole and seal it up again, then you have to be afraid that he did it and makes the wine forbidden. And Rabban Shimon Gamliel says for the third time, kadesha yiftach v'yigov v'sigov, it's long enough to remove the seal entirely, and then reseal it and let the seal dry. Again, the rationale from Shimon Gamliel is same as the previous Mishnah. If a person just drills a hole from the top, then later on it's evident from the inside, from the bottom, that it's been tampered with, so he wouldn't do that. That's his opinion. Halacha follows Shimon Gamliel. So you have a little longer period of time. As far as the question, why are we doing this now for the third time? The principle seems to be the same. The answer is you might have thought that since the non-Jewish worker could like lock the door of the shop to hide his crime, and when you come back, he won't be caught out, because he'll just say, oh, yeah, I locked it, so take a nap or something, I don't want someone to break in, or whatever it is. No, we're not afraid of that. You can come back and forth when it happens, and the Gentile is not mistrusted to have fiddled with it, and as long as the Jew could come back at any moment, and then didn't get the impression it's gone long enough to open it and reseal it, then the wine remains kosher. And that'll be the halacha, like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel.